From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 97. Ashley Madison just got dumped.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange Homegrown Hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting on the web at asmallorange.com.
I like how you did that, Tom.
Thank you. Yeah.
It is getting close to Halloween, so
that's true.
That was true.
I was excited because it's episode 97. We only have three more episodes to our 100th episode.
That's true.
Graffiti and candy, and I'm making all of this up.
You know, because honestly, I've got a baby coming in about the same rough time frame.
There's going to be a baby. Yeah.
You're disappearing for a couple of weeks coming up soon.
True. That's
Tom is leaving.
That is what's happening for the 100th episode.
Tom's leaving.
No, you're having a baby. You planned it out.
I am having a baby.
You planned it out. That's what's happening.
Yep.
Are you going to have a baby for 200?
No. This is the last one.
Well, as you know, we do talk about tech news on this show, and you can help us decide what we talk about each week. Head on over to our Reddit page. It's at deemable.com/Reddit. There you can vote stories up or down or submit one that you think we should discuss.
Yep, and help support Deemable Tech. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. If you haven't done that already, do it now.
Do it.
And leave us a great review. 5 stars or higher. I don't think you can put more than 5 stars. But if you could, do that. The more reviews we have, the more people will find Deemable Tech. And then, you know, more people will see us. And that's what we want to happen. We want more people to hear about our show. And, you know, you can always tell people about our show, too. Go on Facebook. Go on the Twitters.
It's true.
Go on Reddit and post about it on other pages. And let people know about Deemable Tech. Because there's a lot of tech news shows out there. But none like us. Now let's take a look at this week's rundown. The hacker group Impact Team announced last month that it had gained access to Avid Life Media's user base. ALM is the parent company of Ashley Madison, the dating website for married people who want to have an affair, and Established Men, the dating website for rich men to find young, beautiful women. Mm. Impact Team demanded that Avid Life Media take down AshleyMadison.com and EstablishedMen.com, and last week, 1 month later, Impact Team published the data on the deep web.
Oh, snap.
Yep. Now, this is obviously our big story this week, so we will be talking about this later on in the show.
Yes, we will, but for right now, let's talk about Google.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, Google announced this week that it is partnering with network manufacturer TP-Link to make a new Wi-Fi router called the On Hub.
Ooh.
It's kind of a weird name, I think. But in the announcement on their official blog, Google says they want to alleviate the setup headaches and connection problems that many people experience with their wireless routers by introducing a simple, user-friendly device. The On Hub, which looks like a large cylinder with a single light on top, kind of looks like a trash can to me.
Honestly, I thought it looked like the Amazon Edge,
Amazon Echo.
Echo.
Yeah, it does sort of look like that.
Yeah.
It's filled with 13 antennas. 12 are for signal, and one checks the airwaves to make sure there is no wireless congestion in the area. You set up and manage the On Hub by using the Google On Android and iOS app, which Google says will let you prioritize connections for specific devices. So if you're streaming some movies or something like that, you can say, I want most of the connection to go to my Roku or whatever.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty interesting. And it will also give you easy access to your password so you can copy it and text it to your friends when they come over. Instead of trying to have to find
that
post-it note that you wrote it down on.
Sure.
And in a really cool twist, you know, you set up the router with your phone and everything. When you connect your phone with the router for the first time, you do it by sound.
Ooh.
Which makes me think it may have something to do with Google Tone, which we talked about last month.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but could be.
It definitely. I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah.
It's the same type of technology transmitting data by sound.
Yeah, you would think so. As for the clean design, Google had to say this on their website. Many of us keep our router on the floor and out of sight where it doesn't work as well.
That's true.
We replaced unruly cords and blinking lights with internal antennas and subtle, useful lighting So you'll be happy placing OnHub out in the open where your router performs its best. The OnHub is available for pre-order right now, though it is apparently completely sold out at all the places it's available. And it's a little pricey for a router. It's $199.
Okay.
Well, that's a high-end router.
That is a high-end router, yeah.
I mean, yeah, my first thought was Apple AirPort Extreme. It's it's very similar. Mm-hmm. Although, double the amount of antennas.
Yeah, really? I mean, it's a serious amount of antennas.
Yeah.
12 antennas.
Plus one.
Now, I know that, well, yeah, I that's kind of cool. It checks for congestion.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that Google has engineers, and I'm sure that they picked 12 for a reason, but it feels like that's just a lot of antennas. Like, how can that possibly be better than, like, 6 or 4, you know? Like, what is the moment where you have too many antennas and they're all just interfering with each other?
Yeah.
You got me.
Yeah. But, yeah, the price is right on par with the AirPort Extreme, and like I mentioned on Reddit, if it's even half as good as my AirPort Extreme, it's going to be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I really love the sound. That is really awesome.
I think that's a cool idea. Yeah.
And I like being able to just copy and paste the password.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
And it's smart. I mean, I get it. They're saying the on hub, you know, like routers are a pain to set up and people don't understand them. Mm-hmm. So something that just like comes on and works and you boop, 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 and you know, it knows how to set it up. Using sound, that's terrific. That makes total sense.
I was just talking to a friend who was trying to set up her router, and she has no idea what she's doing. It's not working whatsoever. She needs to email questions at deemable.com.
Is there a show where you can get tech help for weird? Cool.
I'm not sure. I think it's at deemable.com, though.
I'm really getting back to the story. I like the different use of ways to transmit data, like with sound here. Like the Wink stuff that I've been playing with, it uses light to transmit passwords and Wi-Fi connections. So I really like that, you know, instead of like everyone's trying to use Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or, you know, some third-party wireless, use what we already know, sound and light. Mm-hmm. It works.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, the electromagnetic spectrum's a big place. Use all of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Speaking of the electromagnetic spectrum and Google.
Oh,
wait a minute.
That was great.
How is this segue going to work?
Bam.
According to an article on Vox, Google is working on a new tool called Project Sunroof that's going to help you figure out if solar power is right for you.
Oh.
Solar power, you know, the sun, that's in the, that's light. Anyways.
That big star out there that makes it everything
the
shiny.
Day star.
That is light, yes.
It's the day star. I like that.
The Project Sunroof tool allows you to enter your address, and then you use aerial imagery collected by Google to calculate how much sunlight your rooftop receives. So you literally enter the address of your home. Boom, there's your rooftop. Sort of got a heat map on top of it and tells you, hey, this is a lot of light, not much light, whatever. The tool then uses other information, which you have to enter, such as your monthly electric bill and whether you want to buy or lease the panels, to determine how much going solar could save you. Now, the tool is still in its early stages as far as the rollout goes. Right now, it doesn't work for North Florida, where we're located, but you can have fun playing with it for Google's stomping grounds in California.
Yeah.
So that's coming soon. That'll be pretty cool because it should be a easier way to determine, hey, is it viable for me to put solar panels on my house? Is that something I could actually do and save money? Well, this will make it a little bit easier to find out.
You know, I'm surprised that no one has done this before. At least I've never heard about this before.
Yeah, I think this is a first.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Well, the aerial pictures make it good because then you can see, oh, well, don't forget you have a giant tree that blocks your roof for half the day. So you're not going to really want to do that. But I think it's more about Google just trying to promote, you know, people having solar panels.
And solar has really become a lot more affordable the last couple of years, especially there's a lot more financing options. And I'm going to sound like I'm really promoting solar here.
Hey,
but there are.
You are a solar panel salesman, Tom.
Right.
We have to be completely transparent.
That is not
true. That's not true. But you don't have to buy them outright anymore, actually. You can lease them at very reasonable rates.
Yeah. Speaking of things being affordable,
nice.
There's a segue for you.
Okay.
Verizon announced in early August that it would no longer be offering subsidized phones with two-year contracts to new customers.
Whoa.
Just to new customers. Existing customers could still get a new phone at a cheaper price as long as they didn't change phone plans. So if you got an iPhone or an Android phone and you on Verizon, you could still get a new one as long as you don't change your phone plan. Now, this made Verizon the second company to drop the old two-year routine that we've gotten used to since, forever.
Mm-hmm.
T-Mobile, the company that Siri thinks I'm talking about every time I say deemable,
that's true.
started this trend in 2013 when they became the so-called Un-carrier, and they stopped doing the two-year contracts. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, Sprint has jumped on the bandwagon.
Oh, okay.
Sprint is no longer offering subsidized smartphones on two-year contracts, leaving poor old AT&T as the only major carrier that offers subsidized phones for now. Now, if you can't afford to drop $650 on a new iPhone, Sprint, Verizon, and T-Mobile do offer a payment plan to get a phone. At Verizon and T-Mobile, if you have good enough credit, you can pay for the phone in 24 easy monthly installments. Mm-hmm. No interest on either one of those. I was surprised.
Oh, wow.
But
wow.
You have to have good credit. I don't know what good credit is. I literally don't know what good credit is, and I don't know what they call good credit. Both are true. Sprint does not have a similar purchase plan, but it will let you lease an iPhone starting at around $22 a month. No word yet if they will offer the same deal for Android phones.
I like this because it's honest. Like, honestly, we've all been doing this, but nobody's been admitting we are doing this.
Right, but you didn't. The thing is, you didn't have to have good credit.
That's true. I mean, that's a difference.
You had to basically not have bill collection from a phone company was really all that they checked for.
Right, but we were basically all having. We were all kind of renting or, you know, leasing phones in a sense through the two-year contract system.
Yeah. You're basically paying installments. So the thing is with T-Mobile, when they did that, you saw a drop in the cost of the service plan. And Verizon apparently is cheaper. I haven't heard of anything happening with Sprint about it getting cheaper. So as a Sprint customer, I'm a little concerned about that. I'm going to pay an additional $24 or $22 a month.
Yeah.
And I know personally, I'm not going to lease a phone. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it, even if I have to drop $650 down on it. Now, this is supposed to happen at the end of this year. No specific date. But it's going to happen at the end of this year. Now, the lease plan with Sprint, at least, you can get a new phone every single year. So you are leasing it, but, you know, when the iPhone 6S comes out, I could get that. And I could get the iPhone 7 and the 7S or whatever they call them.
I do find, like, I think there are fewer and fewer people who need that. Because it's not like there's fewer killer phones coming out now. Pretty much if you have a decent phone, it's going to be decent for a couple years, 2 or 3 years at least.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. I mean, it is getting to the point. We're almost, we've reached that saturation point where, like we have with computers, where you don't need the latest and greatest every single year. You can probably
stick
around.
Is a Galaxy 6 so much better than a Galaxy 5 or a Galaxy 4? Not really. They all run stuff.
I can't believe we just said that as a tech news site.
That's how you feel.
Need the latest and greatest.
I'm not a gadget guy, I'll be honest. Like, I'm not a guy who it's like, yo, you have to have the latest and greatest. Now, laptop, yeah, baby.
Okay.
But, you know, that's because I get them to play my games. but yeah, with phones, have something decently modern, but.
Yeah.
All right. So, guys, as you know, Google likes to name each version of its Android operating system after something sweet and in alphabetical order. So the last three versions, in case you don't recall, have been Jelly Bean, Kit Kat, and Lollipop.
Ooh.
And the next one up is Android M. This week, Google has revealed what the M will stand for.
Now, we did an episode where we talked about it. Didn't we make predictions about what the M would be? I vaguely recall this. I think mine was like M&M.
Okay, that's wrong.
I don't remember that.
Mushrooms, I think.
Mushrooms.
No, that's not true.
That's not sweet.
That's we'll have to go back. If you know what episode number that was. Macaroon.
Oh, it could be macaroon. What do you know what the answer is, Tom?
I do know what the answer is.
What is it?
The answer is marshmallow.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not even really that like exciting. I mean, Kit Kat threw people for a loop. It was like a brand name.
Yeah. You would think maybe they would partner up with Mars.
I know.
I don't know who owns Kit Kat, which is bad because I'm a candy blogger.
You're a candy blogger.
But, you know,
SeanLoveCandy.com.
It's Hershey.
It's Hershey.
Well, maybe they had an exclusion contract with the Kit Kat's people.
That could have been the case.
All right.
Or Nestle.
It's Hershey and Nestle have a weird thing about countries.
Who does what?
Yeah. So it's probably Nestle in Europe.
Oh, in the U.S. it's Hershey, and in the rest of the world it is Nestle.
Yeah, they have a weird kind of partnership as far as
things you didn't expect to learn on Deemable Tech.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
All right. So yeah. So the next version that's coming out soon is Android Marshmallow, and the new version, as far as numbers, will actually be 6.0. Lollipop was 5.0, and we're currently on 5.1.1, for those of you who aren't Android freaks. All right, so yeah. So Marshmallow coming soon to a phone near you.
It's interesting.
Well, if you have an iPhone 6 Plus, you might have bought it for its significantly better camera. That doesn't include anybody in this room.
But I've heard about it.
Yeah, I mean, it had a better camera.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's why you bought it, joke's on you. Engadget is reporting that the camera on several of the iPhone 6 Pluses are defective, making the image blurry.
Ugh.
So if you think you are a victim of this atrocity, you can go to a page on Apple's website and enter your serial number to find out if you were one of these defective iPhones. I'm sorry, if your iPhone was one of the defective ones. I don't think you're a defective iPhone.
Although you are.
If you are a defective iPhone. Us.
If there's a sentient iPhone out there.
Siri, call me.
But yeah, we'll post the link to that on our show notes so you can check that. If you don't have an iPhone 6 Plus and your camera lens is blurry, for instance, if you have an iPhone 6 or a 5S, a Samsung Galaxy, Nokia 3390, you're okay. It's not a defect. Just wipe the lens off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
That's nice. Well, you know, I just mentioned sentient iPhones.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, last week or maybe the week before, Ray was worried about robot civil rights everything. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Well, while that was going on, a dog joined Twitter.
Okay.
Shut the front door.
We missed this.
Oh.
Wow.
Actually, it happened this week.
Okay.
Computer science student Henry Conklin thought that his dog Oliver was so outspoken that his thoughts needed to be shared with the world. So he created the account @OliverBarkBark.
Oh, that's adorable.
As Conklin says on his blog, rather than transcribe every bark out of his dog's mouth, he set up a system that automatically detected, filtered, and published each one of Oliver's deafening vocalizations.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Conklin set up this system that consists of a Raspberry Pi, which is a type of like microcomputer that I guess is about the size of a credit card. I've never seen
roughly.
I've never seen one in person.
Oh.
But it's promoted for teaching basic computer science in schools. I guess a lot of hackers and tinkerers like to mess with them because it's just a very basic tiny computer.
Mm-hmm.
So he has that, a microphone, and a Wi-Fi dongle.
Hmm.
That's his whole system. The computer starts recording when it hears a loud sound that matches a library of barks that Conklin created.
Okay.
Yeah, by recording his dog.
This system, guy's got a lot of time on his hands.
It does sound like it.
Hang on, I'm working my library of barks, Mom.
Being a student, it does sound like it. The system then tweets out a random string of barks, woofs, and ruffs. So if you go to the Twitter page right now, you'll see a bunch of tweets that's just like bark, 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 woof, ruff, ruff. Like, that's all it is. And it's any time that his dog barks for a while.
Yeah. 2 hours ago, Oliver Twitch said bark, woof, bark, ruff, woof, woof, bark.
Oh, okay.
I wonder what he
says. These are poignant tweets.
Yeah. Well, it's strange.
It's worth following.
Because Henry Conklin says that he hopes to replace
that.
That's true. Ooh, you should replace
I'm retweeting it from Deemable Tech right now.
There we go.
Retweeted.
He hopes in the future to replace this system with a bark to text translator.
Oh, yeah. The Holy Grail.
So which he says will be more accurate to Oliver's actual voice.
Mm,
so we're getting pretty close to Doug from Disney Pixar's Up.
Mm.
And it will all start with this Twitter page, apparently.
I mean, this, you know... My apartment, for some reason, is surrounded by houses with loud dogs.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I just imagine possibly Oliver is one of these types of dogs where you're kind of like, oh, there's that dog again.
But then you need to pull up his Twitter account and find out what's going on.
I think I know what's going on. He's barking again. I get that.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, let's talk about robots.
Oh, sounds great.
Robots, threat or menace? No matter what you think about our future robotic overlords, one thing is clear. They are getting better all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Gizmodo has just released a report that cutting-edge robotics company Boston Dynamics released...
Owned by Google, correct?
That's right, yeah. I believe.
Wow.
Released a video this week showing off two of its robots. There's Spot, a quadrupedal robot, and it features a robotic arm that allows it to open doors, so it can open a door and then take itself for a walk.
Hmm.
That's not all. A bipedal robot named Atlas is shown walking over uneven surfaces, including a bed of rocks. Atlas is also shown navigating outdoors through a forest. Essentially, the only thing stopping it from running the Boston Marathon is the fact that the model is not yet wireless and must remain hooked up to a power source at all times.
Hmm.
The company reports that they are working on this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to die.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you want to hear more of Ray's thoughts about this, listen to last week's episode.
Yeah, a couple episodes ago.
Yep.
Hey, speaking of which, we were talking about the episode where we were talking about Android version.
Yes.
It was episode 85, the episode that will crash your phone.
Oh.
At the time, the rumor was macadamia nut cookie.
Okay. Oh.
That was the rumor back then.
Delicious.
We did come up with our guesses. And,
I wasn't here for that one.
We didn't put any of those in the show notes.
Okay.
So you'll have to listen. And I may listen too because I don't remember what we said. I don't think we said marshmallow, though.
Wow, I can't believe
sadly.
We said marshmallow.
Well, marshmallow isn't
so
actually,
obvious.
Well, it's not candy. And it's, I don't
it's
know
a
if
sweet.
It's a dessert.
It's just sweets.
It is a sweet.
Yeah.
It's sweets, yeah.
Anything sweet is fair game, really.
Okay.
All right, so let's get back into the big story this week, Ashley Madison.
Mm. Ashley Madison.
So this is actually the second major hack of a dating website of ill repute this year.
Really?
Back in May, Adult Friend Finder was hacked.
Oh.
Which, if you've been on the internet, you've probably seen an ad for.
Well, that's, for grown-ups to find friends, right?
Right, exactly. at least it's not as, I will go ahead and say that Ashley Madison is bad. It's repugnant.
Yep. As I said, human garbage.
Oh, yeah. tell us how you really feel, Sean. that's what you feel about cheaters.
Yes.
Not necessarily Ashley Madison.
No.
Who is not a real person. Ashley Madison is not a real person, for anyone who didn't know. It's just a name that the creator of the website decided to pick at random.
And those that are hip to this call it AshMad, apparently.
It's true. AshMad. That is unfortunate. I have gotten way too familiar with this site. It is AshMad.
AshMad.
Back in May, Adult Friend Finder, which is more just about hooking up, so kind of like Down, but the website version of it, they were hacked. Back then, CNN Money says that customers' email addresses, usernames, passwords, birthdays, and zip codes were included in that hack.
Really?
No credit card numbers, though, apparently, or at least as far as I know. The data in this hack, the Ashley Madison Establishment hack, is just as extensive and more so. The data includes most recent communications, sexual preferences, things that you're interested in, really kind of kinky stuff, last four digits of members' credit card numbers, and more. There was a lot of account information as far as how often they had paid money, if they were a paid subscriber, if they had bought the Affair Guaranteed plan, many people did buy.
Wow.
The most damning evidence is really the delete feature. Which people paid $20 or 15 euros or 15 pounds, I'm not sure, one of those, to completely delete their account from the system. And it guaranteed a clean delete and that all record would be deleted from the website. Except for the credit card transaction where it showed them deleting the account and it showed their name, address, and the credit card number.
Yeah.
I will quibble with this, actually.
Oh, you'll quibble?
Yes. Ashley Madison was not guaranteeing they would delete your data entirely from their database.
Oh.
They were guaranteeing that they would delete your data from people's profiles.
Yeah.
For instance, if you have sent an embarrassing message to so-and-so or sexy message or whatever, and you pay for the delete, what they were supposed to do, and I don't know if they did this, but what they were supposed to do was to go out to that person and actually retrieve your messages and kill them. Yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't, that is a great deal for $20. I mean,
now, I'm not saying they're going to break into their house, but like the messages that are in their,
the messages,
like in their inbox on Ashley Madison.
Okay.
They would kill the messages. Let's be specific with that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Let me clear that up. And the person you message, they will kill them also. $20. It's great.
It's a fantastic deal.
No.
From what little knowledge I have about paying someone to assassinate, I thought it was a lot more.
Let's get back on track here.
I think, and this is certainly Ashley Madison's fault for basically being a bit coy about this. I think the permanent delete feature is really misunderstood.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think they were intending to guarantee that all your information would be deleted forever, because as you say, they have to have the credit card information.
Sure, sure.
Like, just for account record keeping.
Yeah, well, there were roughly 40 million users who were included in this dump. It was a huge amount of data, roughly 10 gigabytes of data in the dump, compressed. Uncompressed, it was almost 23 gigabytes.
Dang.
Now, this is not available on the regular web, on just the internet. It was posted on the deep web. Actually, it's still the internet. It's just not the regular web. The deep web, if you don't know what that is or how to get on it, educate yourself. We're not going to get into that.
You have to be underwater.
No, that's not. You have to have special software for it. But we're not going to teach people how to do that. We do have the data, but we haven't had enough time to dig into it before this episode was recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, CNN Money is reporting that almost 7,000, and this is where it gets kind of tricky, where it's more than just the obvious things that are going to happen. Almost 7,000 of the email addresses were American and Canadian government email addresses.
Oh,
whoa.
And where it's really bad is over 7,200 were U.S. Army personnel, 3,500 was from the Navy, 1,100 was from the Marines, and 628 was from the Air Force. If you guys don't know, it is actually against the law to have an affair if you are a military member.
Oh, really?
I think the minimum is a year in prison.
Oh, wow.
Or the brig, as it's called. This could have some real repercussions. Now, I don't know how this will play out in criminal court or JAG court, for that matter, with the military, because this is technically stolen property.
Mm-hmm.
So this is obviously not obtained through legal methods. So I don't know if this will be admissible in criminal court.
Mm.
It most likely will be admissible in civil court, though, I imagine.
Oh, again, sure.
Yeah. I'm no lawyer, but lawyers are kind of excited about this whole mess.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is going to cause a lot of marital fallouts. The Daily Mail is reporting that lawyers are saying that this is going to be Christmas in September.
Oh,
now, before you jump on that, obviously, this is August, but spouses are going to be finding out that their partner was registered or paying to be on the site in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
And so obviously, all of it's going to start rolling in September. Other lawyers are calling it legal Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, on a little bit more dark tone, even more than the military, the website's CNN Money also pointed out this. The website's users were worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 79 countries in this world where homosexuality is illegal. And there was men seeking men and women seeking women on the site who were in countries like Afghanistan, Iran, Nigeria, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. And in those countries, the punishment for homosexuality is death.
Yeah.
So that, you know, throughout this, I haven't felt sorry for anybody. I'm like, suckers, you know, you got caught. But now I'm kind of like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, an American who's been exposed, and possibly the most well-known person to be exposed so far, mm-hmm. Is Josh Duggar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who is, of course, a reality TV star and conservative value promoter, famous for TLC's 19 Kids and Counting. Gawker is reporting that Duggar had not just one, but two AshMad accounts.
Two?
Two, wow. Yes.
Yeah.
One, for convenience, I guess, linked to his home in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and the other to an address in Oxon Hill, Maryland. Both accounts were paid accounts, seriously paid accounts. This guy was spending hundreds of dollars on the site, which did include the $250 purchase of an affair guarantee.
Yeah, that affair guarantee
it's
I talked about.
Pricey, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Duggar drew controversy in May when it was reported that he had molested several girls as a teenager, including his own sisters.
Yeah.
His family claimed that he had since reformed, but maybe not. Josh Duggar has been married to his wife, Anna, for 7 years, and they have 4 children. So
now, he did confess to it. He admitted that he was on the site. He regretted it. Mm-hmm. Actually, on the Duggar's blog, he talked about it. He confessed it all. Interesting, though, his confession changed.
Did it?
He admitted that he had been unfaithful to his wife and that he was struggling with a pornography addiction. Mm-hmm. And then a few hours later, it was edited. No mention of the pornography addiction, and the discretion was placed in the past tense. Because the first time it was posted, it said, "I have been cheating on my wife."
Mm-hmm.
And then it was changed to, "I had cheated on my wife."
Mm-hmm.
I guess trying to play PR, but it was kind of late. It was already published.
Yeah.
That makes it look worse.
Yeah.
Now, a little bit closer to our home, FloridaPolitics.com confirmed that the Florida State Representative Rich Workman was a paying Ashley Madison member, too.
Whoops.
Workman did admit that he had an account on the site and that he regretted it. He said it was when he was single, which does match up with what his profile said, but he still wishes he had never joined the site.
Probably because it's full of, bots and fake profiles.
Why would he join if he were single?
Well, there are a lot of, I say a lot, and we'll get into that in a second, but there are a lot of single people who kind of troll it for
mess around with a married person.
Yeah, exactly.
I see.
Now, let's get into the stuff that everybody wants to hear. Of course, I did have an Ashley Madison account.
Mm-hmm.
If you recall, I don't remember when we did it. It was a while back. We did a story about Ashley Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I'm sorry. We did a story about dating websites and dating apps.
Yeah, that was on one of our radio specials.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it wasn't on the podcast. It was on the radio special, Ask Deemable
Tech.
But
still online, and you can still check it out.
It's still online. Check it out.
Yep, definitely.
And so I looked at a whole bunch of dating sites to kind of pick out the ones that we were going to feature, and I saw Ashley Madison, and I looked at it, and I experienced it was full of bots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I tried to reach out to get someone to a response, like I did on all the sites that I checked out, and I never got a single person who responded. It was always bots. They were always sending me crap to sign up for, or go to this cam site or whatever. I don't think I ever actually interacted with a real person. Now, that being said, I did not pay. I didn't put a credit card in. Mm-hmm. I didn't do any of that because it was like, why am I going to do that? You know, that was stupid.
Who did you use for your profile picture? What
I used my own picture.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
And maybe that's why I got no response. I did read an article.
I'm always Chris Pratt.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
I worked really well.
That's
it. I mean, yeah. I did read a story from an author from GQ who got on the site and was basically doing the same thing. But he did get a response. This was after the hack. But he at first didn't say what he was up to, which was like what I did. I didn't say what I was up to. I was just, trying to find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was very honest about my situation that I'm married, I've got kids, blah, blah, blah. But this guy didn't get any response at first, but then he admitted that he was a writer for GQ and he was working a story, and then he got responses.
Oh.
So the most interesting quote was, "So are we just going to have an interview, or are we going to hook up, or because we could do both?"
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
A very well-written article. Check that out. It kind of gives you an inside perspective of what this site was all about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of kind of disappointing. It kind of gives you less hope in humanity.
Yeah, yeah.
With so many people, I think from a tech perspective too, the fact that so many people use their business email address, their government email address, their military email address. It's like, wow, did you not realize that you were that you could get caught?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, there is one thing, and I didn't realize this until I read somewhere else had pointed it out. You did not have to confirm your email address. So you could put in any email address you wanted. You could put in Barack Obama at whitehouse.gov and you could get in.
Yeah. ChrisPratt@yahoo.com.
Or ChrisPratt@chrisPratt.com.
Oh, that's even better.
That's much more believable.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could do whatever you wanted, and they never verified it. So a lot of people are coming up with some excuses. Conan did a recent skit about that. Check out his his excuses. Also, The Guardian put a nice list of excuses together. There's going to be a lot of mostly men who are in huge trouble. But also women, there were a good amount of women who were using the site.
Has anyone done a breakdown of the male to female ratio?
I'm sure they have. I haven't read it. Like I said, I'm going to start digging into the data, and I may have an article on our site with some statistics about it. So, yeah. Got anything less depressing to talk about?
I wanted to give you...
Can we leave this episode on a less dark note?
Let's go out on a high note.
I want to give you guys a little bit of basically bubblegum to go out on. Oh. So here we go.
Bubblegum.
I think this is relevant to our interests.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, you decide. Mm-hmm. Ever since Disney bought Star Wars...
I'm sold. I'm in. What is this about?
Yep. Speculation has been rampant that the company would introduce Star Wars-themed attractions to its famous theme parks.
Oh, but there's already more Star Wars-themed attractions. There's
more.
Star Tours, and that's it, right?
At the
moment, yeah. Right.
Well, hold on to your horses. This week, Ars Technica reports that the company has made it official, announcing a massive 14-acre Star Wars expansion, the largest ever, to California's Disneyland and Florida's Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there aren't a whole ton of details yet about what the attraction will be like, but it's going to be super Star Wars focused, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, and Disney specifically says that guests will be able to fly around in the Millennium Falcon and visit the Mos Eisley Space Cantina.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the attractions will reportedly be staffed by quote-unquote local inhabitants of the Star Wars universe.
Yep.
Wow.
So we got that to look forward to.
That's true.
This is great news, but we do have to go back and re-record this again, and you have to say hold on to your tauntaun.
Okay.
Oh, tauntaun, yeah.
All right, never mind.
Womp rats.
That is really cool.
I know. Like,
I'm excited.
I'm honestly like, you guys are huge, huge Disney geeks.
I am. Yeah, that's true. And Star Wars.
Yep.
So. I like Disney fine, but I haven't been to the theme park in a long time because I'm not that big on crowds and heat.
Yeah, not to go on too much of a tangent about Disney
World.
This
will get me there.
This is all going to be at Disney World. It's going to be at Hollywood Studios.
This sounds like it's going to be its own thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a big Star Wars world.
We don't know.
Well, 14 acres isn't that big.
Most likely it will be at Disney's Hollywood Studios, which apparently will get a new name. They've been kind of hinting at that for a while, but they've never confirmed anything. But
intriguing.
I think this will probably be at Hollywood Studios, along with a Toy Story Land.
I did hear about that, which I thought it'd be Pixar. They would just go off of all the different Pixar shows.
I don't know.
But they said it's going to be a bunch of Toy Story. There's going to be a Slinky thing. Yeah. There's going to be a Green Army Man thing.
Yeah, it's you're supposed to be the size of a toy in Andy's backyard is the idea.
And they're expanding... the Toy Story Mania ride, which thank goodness, because the lines on that are
insane. Adding a third track.
Let me jump in here. I'm looking at disneyparks.disney.go.com.
That's official.
Today at the D23 Expo 2015, the Walt Disney Company chairman and CEO Bob Iger, blah, 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 announced that Star Wars themed lands will be coming to Disneyland Park and Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
So it's a land, but it's in Hollywood Studios.
They did say it was Hollywood Studios. Okay, yeah, so Hollywood Studios and most Disney parks, especially the Magic Kingdom-style parks, are broken into lands anyway, so it would make sense to call it a Star Wars land.
Yeah.
But yeah, that makes sense.
But it does say it's going to be the Disney's largest single-themed land expansions ever.
Yeah.
So
14
acres is apparently big to them.
It is.
That is huge.
I wonder if it's 14... altogether acres.
I think they're Earth acres. They're not Star Wars acres.
No. I mean, if it's like 7 acres at Disneyland and 7 acres at Disney World.
No, I think...
Oh, really?
I think the way that they say it on there, it makes it sound like it will be 14 acres for each.
Wow. That is pretty big.
We could be wrong.
I just want to comment on the fact that Disney's websites are hilariously long.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got Go.com back in the 90s, and they do everything at Go.com.
Yep.
And it results in these ridiculously long websites.
Disneyparks.disney.go. It is kind of crazy.
It's pretty terrible.
Like, why do you need the Disney? Like, Disneyparks.go.com would be fine. Or parks.whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's almost as bad as HP. HP's websites are the worst.
It's Yeah.
But that's all we got.
That's all we got.
So at least we're leaving you on a slightly better note.
Yeah, meet us at Star Wars Land when that opens.
That's true.
Yeah.
Me and Sean will be starting our spinoff show, Deemable Disney.
Yeah, definitely.
Someday. Maybe. Probably not.
Yeah, probably. All right.
Well, if you have a suggestion other than to start Deemable Disney, or if you have a comment for the show, give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. It's 1-888-972-9868. Give us a call. Just say hi. Mm-hmm. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can send us an email to feedback@deemable.com. If you send audio, we may use it in the show.
Mm.
And don't forget to help us decide what stories we talk about on the show. Go to our subreddit page and submit a story. Or you can vote other stories up or down, which so many of you did this week.
Definitely.
Tons of people voted on the Duggar story,
mm-hmm.
sadly. But go to deemable.com/reddit and it'll take you there. And don't forget, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher,
mm-hmm.
or both, and leave a review on one or the other or both.
Please do.
Yeah, we love your reviews. 5 stars are great. 4 stars are okay. And we love you to say things nice about
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this has been Deemable Tech.
Let's just take it from Susie. It sounds like your sister has a lot of emails.
Susie. Sounds like a famous song.
Susie. Yes.
Sounds like your sister
has a lot of emails.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. That she doesn't want to receive.
It's like an 80s arena rock song. I don't know why. It's the Susie that does it.
Susie. Susie.
It's just an awesome solo in it.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.